There it is. Yeah. What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host doing the late night chop up like we do sometimes. I'm Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Kwedu Skincare. That's K-E-D-U Skincare. Kwedu Skincare at kweduskincare.com. And you can go to their Instagram, official Kwedu Skincare. That's the one-stop shop for all your skincare needs. They have everything from vegan lip balms to luxurious oat-filled body creams, herbal and triple body butters, premium hair oils for healthy locks. The whole nine yards is black-owned, and it's a woman-owned business. So check them out again at Kwedu, that's K-E-D-U, skincare.com, ladies and gentlemen, because some of y'all are just ashy. But nevertheless, I digress. We're going to chop up some real good game on tonight's broadcast. I want everybody to retweet this. Let everybody know that we're live. We're going to touch on the aftermath of this whole Will Smith, Chris Rock situation. We got to talk about the aftermath of this thing and how a lot of people are being very extra about it. We got to get into this. But let's take a real quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. Don't move a muscle. We'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Are you looking to start your own business? Millions of brothers have turned to eBay to escape the rat race. Become your own boss and get the Power Seller Research eBook. It's a comprehensive, step-by-step guide that explains how to start an eBay business. The website is powersellerresearch.com. Again, that's powersellerresearch.com.
What's up, family? As you all know, it is tax time right now, and I know you need to get those tax refund checks back to bring your business up to speed. So bring your business to Comos Reliable Refund. Get expert help from a CPA for your business and your individual taxes. You can follow them on Instagram at KOMOS_reliable_refund or reach out to them at Comos Reliable Fun.com. That's KOMOSRELIABLERFUND.com. Listen, are you ashy as hell? Do you have dry, parched skin? Does your elbows look like elephant knees? If so, you want to get your skin from crusty to lovely. Go to ashkicking.com to get all the lotions, lubricants, and body butters that you need to get your skin in order. They got all types of health and beauty products, everything you need. They got incense, things to make your house smell good, things to make you smell good. So again, go to ashkicking.com. Again, that's ashkicking.com.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave a op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground. So you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
Let's get down to it.
You are now tuned in
to the godfather of the game, often imitated and always celebrated.
Stop sloganeering. Sloganeering kills people.
Hey, yo, check this out. It's
Tariq Nasheed on Tariq Radio.
Let's go. Let's go.
Be my goddamn stumbler.
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. We are back. Glad to have y'all in here. Glad to have everybody in here. Everybody, I need you guys to hit that thumbs up button. I need you to hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button if you have not done that already. Ladies and gentlemen, glad to have y'all here. Somebody said they ordered the FBA flag. Look, we're going to have the maroon flags on sale soon. We got the maroon flag t-shirts already at officialfba.com. And y'all stay tuned. Next month, we're going to have another dynamic package because a lot of people missed out on the package deal that we had last month. Or was it this month? It was actually this month. We're still in March. We had a three-day sale. Everything sold out in like 3 days, and a lot of people missed out. But I will have another package, a great dynamic package for everybody next month. We'll have something that we'll put together so everybody can get next month just to show appreciation to the family out there. Also, don't forget to get the movie Buck Breaking if you have not gotten Buck Breaking already. BuckBreakingMovie.com. That's where you can get Buck Breaking. Where are my LA people? All my LA people. Where I need some new barbers out here in LA, especially the ones out here in the Valley area. Are you in the Valley area? Because I need barbers on deck all the time. I gotta get a whole new crew of barbers because I'm doing a lot of interviews. And a lot of times I get hit up to do interviews at the last minute and I need somebody pronto. And some of the barbers I got, some of them are not available. It's like, eh. So I gotta have a whole bunch of folks on deck, because I got a lot of stuff coming up and I need people at the drop of a dime. So my LA people. Yeah, somebody, Dwan B. I see my dude, Dwan B. Shout out to Dwan B. You already know Dwan B. Dwan B is in the room. Dwan B is from LA. He's like, the Valley ain't jack squat for haircuts. Dwan, you are not telling any lies anywhere on the planet, brother. They are the worst out here, brother. We have the worst barbers out here, man. Where I am in the Valley, oh, God. They're the worst and flaky, and it's a mess. But yeah, man, I don't want to have to go. I don't want to get stuck in traffic. You know what I'm saying, dude? Don't give me that advice. Well, go down to LA. That's the dilemma, brother. That is the dilemma. I don't want to go all the way down. I don't want to hit the 405 and get stuck in traffic. I have things to do. I got things to do. But all my Valley folks, if you know some Valley, yeah, the Valley is very scarce for barbers, even braiders, man, because my wife has a problem getting braiders coming out here, and that's kind of a known thing. You know, you got to have the braiders come in from Compton and Inglewood, and then you got to give them like $200 travel fee, and it's a whole thing, man. It's a whole thing. So, yeah, my LA folks, holler at me about some barbers out here in the Valley area. My barbers out here in the Valley area. Email me, kflex4life, the number four, kflex4life@yahoo.com. That's the email, kflex4life@yahoo.com. Kflex, the number four. All my LA people, hit me up for the barbers out here. Anyway, a lot of stuff we got to get into. Speaking of California, family, they had another reparations hearing for California to determine who's eligible. There's different levels to it. They're going to drag it out as much as they can. And here's the thing. We got to be on their bumper as much as we can. See, they think they're going to tier this thing and go through all these levels and we're just going to fall off and ignore them. We're not ignoring nothing. They done got these reparation task force together And the game that they thought was they're going to just try to drag things out so we'll lose interest, and then they can start slipping in a lot of BS under the radar. And we are on their bumper so heavy. Shout out to you all. When they had the virtual reparations conference earlier, you guys were up in there hundreds deep. They never get that type of audience listening into those hearings. You guys were like 400-500 deep up in there listening to every word, and they drug this thing out all day today. It was up, I think they got started this morning and then they ended in the evening, and they were, I don't know if they thought they were going to wear people down, but folks, y'all were on their bumpers. I was in and out of the room too. They wouldn't let me get on. I was raising my hand. The moderator kept taking me out of the moderation queue. Because what they tried to do, they stacked the whole hearing up with a lot of these in Cobra narc people, all of these Democratic shills who sit up here and try to push the Pan-Africanism line when it comes to reparations. And they were desperately trying to push this whole, we got to include all Black people because all Black people suffer from racism, not just the descendants of slaves. And we were like, no. Folks was in the comment section going off. Folks, they were on Twitter snapping. So these folks knew their careers were going to be on the line if they tried to put together some BS. We were not going for the BS. They kept trying to use a lot of word salad. It was how many people was on the actual voting panel? It was about, 9-10 people? And eventually, with a lot of going back and forth, because the whole thing was to determine who was going to be eligible. And you had a handful of folks. This one lawyer lady, Lisa, what was Lisa's last name? Was it Holder? And I'm getting Butter Biscuit Bedwinch vibes off her. I done looked up some of her stuff, and I'm getting some Bedwinch vibes. I'll say that. The chairwoman, yes, Miss Moore. She was thorough. She was on top of it. And I chopped it up with her some time ago. I chopped it up with her last year about this whole thing. She's solid. But the thing is, we were on their bumpers. We were on their bumpers. We were not. Yeah, Lisa Holder, we were not going for that whole everybody Black suffered racism, so we got to include them. We're not doing that. We were not playing that at all. We were not playing that game. And we let these folks know what it was. And shout out to the sisters who was broadcasting all day. Sister Cherie, a lot of folks was on top of it. And man, they were trying everything they could. They were talking about, well, those in Cobra Negroes. Well, if it's going to be just for the descendants of slaves in America, that's going to be like real divisive, and that's going to make other people feel bad. They were in there talking that nonsense. Man, I wanted to jump off the phone, man. I wanted to jump into the phone. They were doing that nonsense. They were talking about, well, somebody who was, it was one Boule Sambo in there. Reggie Jones or something, right? I looked him up. He's Boule all day. One of them Boule Negroes. Talking about whether we came here on a slave ship or a cruise ship, we all in the same boat now. I threw the phone when this Negro said that, man. They were talking that type of stuff. These Democratic shills that's been sent in to try to sabotage it. Oh my God. They had everybody hot, man. We were like, oh no, they're not about to play this game. But I'm telling y'all, NARC and NCOBRA, they are enemies of Black society. They kept trying to push that Pan-Africanism line. Oh, we all in it together. We all suffer a lot of images. There's some Black folks who come over here and they be suffering from racism. If a police pull them over, they ain't gonna ask if you is a descendant of slaves in America. They were using all of those old talking points. We ain't going for that, because listen, we're not having a conversation to stop racism, all right? We can't do that right now. This isn't a situation where we're trying to stop some damn racism. We're talking about a specific claim that is specific to foundational Black Americans. We're talking about something that is owed to us specifically. We ain't trying to carry nobody. We're not trying to help you stop racism. That's another conversation. We'll do that over there. But right now, this is our thing that we're trying to get popping. And it doesn't include everybody. And they kept trying to shame us for not including everybody because they know the trick bag that they're trying to do. They understand the minute we let Black immigrants in, that opens the door to everybody. They know that. If we say, well, Black immigrants, they weren't descendants of slaves and they're not owed anything, but because they suffered racism, they should get something. And then, hell, the Latinos are going to be like, well, damn it, I suffer from racism, even though I've been classified as white, but I got called a derogatory name, so I need a piece of that check too. That opens the door to everybody, and they know that. And that's what their white Democratic paymaster sent them to do, to try to trick us. Remember, politics is warfare, family, and we went into the situation today with a warfare mindset. That's how we have to be when it comes to the political game. Politics is warfare without bloodshed. Everything is all about tricking us. When they do politics with us, the whole name of the game is tricking foundational Black Americans to go along with things that's going to be against our self-interest and it's going to benefit everybody else. That's warfare. And the problem is we keep going for it. So what they try to do is throw out a bunch of symbolic gestures when it comes to us. Other groups get tangibles. And then you have other people try to tell us all of these crazy, convoluted things we have to do to get tangibles. Well, if you want tangibles, what you got to do, you got to have a committee, and then you got to go out here and get a voting pack, and then put some money together for the pack. And then what you got to do, you got to get a lobbyist committee. And then if you get a lobbyist committee, then you can put somebody in place that's going to push your agenda. They start, stop. Because non-citizens are getting tangibles from the government and they didn't do none of that. Asians don't do all that. They just get tangibles. Hispanics who ain't even citizens, they get tangibles. They don't do that because they can't do all that. Afghanistan refugees get tangibles. They don't do all of these committees and PACs and all that. The Ukrainian refugees that's about to come over here, they're not creating PACs and doing all of this stuff. They're just chipping these people off just to chip them off. But with us, we got to go through hoops. We got to do the limbo. We got to do a march on Selma. Then we got to do all of these crazy things. No, we don't. We just got to stay on code and let these folks know. We will not support none of these folks. We'll let the Democratic Party crash and burn. Because you do not have to vote if you're not going to get anything out of it. Voting is warfare, man. We got to look at it as, what are we going to get for our group? Other groups, when they vote, it's all about what they are getting, what tangibles they're going to get. They're all about tangibles. And we can't touch them. We can't touch none of the tangibles they get. It's not for us. The DACA program, that's not for foundational Black Americans. All of these immigrant set-asides, that's not for foundational Black Americans. But the minute we start talking about getting tangibles, all of a sudden, we get all of these words thrown at us where we got to include everybody. Well, if you get something, just understand, you can't be divisive. It's all about togetherness. It's all about equality. It's all about a minority coalition. Listen to those words they come around us with. They don't do that when it's just Asians in the room. I'm telling y'all, when it's Asians and Latinos and all of these other groups in the room, there is no minority coalition talk. There is no equality talk. There's no people of color talk. They get specific tangibles for them and they get right to the point. It's not a gazillion committees. But boy, when we get on the floor, all of a sudden we get flooded with Boule agents, bedwench agents. We get flooded in the zone, and that's why we got to stay on top of everybody, man. There's a reason why I've been calling these bedwenches and Boule folks out for years. I've been telling y'all, this is why. I don't call them out just because I dislike them. I'm telling you, these people are dangerous. These folks are very dangerous when it comes to us, man. We got to watch who they put in front of us. And just because they use the word civil rights and all that, that don't mean nothing. And also, it was an Asian man on the panel, and he was talking a good game at first. What was that Asian guy's name? I think he wasn't his family like survivors of the, and I say survivors because they weren't killing Japanese people who were in the internment camps. They weren't killing them, so survivor. But he was a descendant of those people who were in the internment camps, I think. And what was his name, the Asian guy's name? Now, at first, all this month, he's been popping in these reparations conversations, and I don't know why they have him in a reparations conversation about us. Well, I do know. Tamaki, right? Yeah, Tamaki. There's an Asian man sitting up here judging whether or not we're going to get reparations. So this Asian guy is here, and for the last few weeks, he's been talking a good game. And even on the meeting today, for hours, he was kind of talking a good game. He was seeming like he was on our side. And then the minute they start talking about voting on whether or not it's going to be race-based or lineage-based, because if it's race-based, that opens it up for everybody. But if it's lineage-based, that's just going to make it available for us foundational Black Americans. So when it was time to vote, he was one of the people who voted for it to be race-based. He did a 180 on our ass. And boy, they were trying to slip in a whole bunch of stuff. And finally, they all agreed that this thing has to be limited to foundational Black Americans who were descendants of slaves. This article just came out. California First in Nation Task Force on Reparations voted Tuesday to limit state compensation to the descendants of free and enslaved Black people who were in the U.S. in the 19th century, narrowly rejecting a proposal to include all Black people. Yeah, we shut that down, family. They immediately wrote an article about it in the AP. So this sets a cool precedent for the rest of the country. This is what it means by staying on code and staying on top of this stuff. Oh, they thought we were going to fall by the wayside. They thought we were going to ignore it. See, that's what they were hoping. They were hoping that we weren't going to tune in so they can just slip all the BS through. And then when we pop up and see it in law, we're like, damn, what's going on with this bill? Yeah, you guys, we told you we're having a meeting and, you know, this is what we did. So reparations for everybody. Oh, you don't remember when the meeting was? They were going to try to play that game, and we didn't go for that. And this is why, family, ain't no coalition, man. We got to watch out who comes to the table. When you got non-Black people talking about a situation this serious, we have to call that all the way out. Because let me tell you something. Stuff for them, for their groups, they're not going to have us at the table deciding for them what they're going to get. We got to shut that stuff down. Yeah, we ain't playing about this. And look, this is a marathon. We got to stay on our square. We got to keep our eyes on every tier of conversation that they spew. And now when it gets to what actually will be administered to us, we got to make sure it's going to be cash. Let's not let them play the, well, we're going to give you education vouchers. No. We got to stay on our square. It's going to be about cash. It's going to be about cash, ladies and gentlemen. We're not playing the, we're going to give you some Popeye's chicken coupons and we're going to give you a Black card for Six Flags. And no. We're going to stay on our square. We're going to need money. We're going to need money. And shout, it was one Jamaican dude who actually voted in favor of it being lineage based. Shout out to him. He got on code. But what I understand, he wasn't really on code at first until he saw the arguments coming from the grassroots. So he got on code. So this is why it's important to stay on these people's bumper. And we let them know, if y'all vote crazy and try to push a bill that's going to undermine us, your career is over. Your career is going to be over. But the Incobra people, they were trying to mix in all types of stuff. Well, what if somebody had came over here in the 1800s from the Caribbean, and then they had got on the census and they got a Spanish last name? They were trying all of that nonsense, deliberately trying to confuse the issue. We're not going for that. We're being very specific. Black folks who was here 19th century, if they can be traced to the census, which is very easy to do. This is not rocket science. They kept trying to make this thing more convoluted and confusing than what it was. If you can trace yourself back, your family back to the census 1870, you good. It's that simple. Yeah, he blocked me, but then he unblocked me. He unblocked me now. So yeah, he got on code. That brother in particular, he got on code. You understand? Now, yeah, some people talking about they couldn't go back past 1940. Man, please, I can trace my family back to the damn 1700s. I don't know what y'all talking about. I can trace my family back to the 1700s. I'm good money. If you can't trace your family back and all that stuff, maybe you an immigrant and this ain't for you. And this is not about emotions. This ain't when it comes to us getting some, all of a sudden everybody's feelings come into play. Well, that's going to be divisive. That make people feel bad and you're going to leave people out. So what? Yeah, this is not about feelings. We're talking business here. We are the descendants of the recipients of the people who are supposed to get benefits from the special field order 15, which is the 40 acres and a mule bill. We are the descendants of the proposed recipients of the special field order 15 bill. We can get very technical with it. We can get very, very technical with this thing. And you're not going to shame us because none of these other groups include us. We're always left out. Ain't nobody thinking about our damn feelings. They leave us out of everything. They got CARICOM. CARICOM leaves us out. They don't include us in CARICOM. They're going to have to fight their own battle. Yeah, we're not carrying everybody else no more. That's done. And remember, all of these immigrant groups, they whack hide. So whack hide and get yours, right? Don't depend on us, lazy Akata. Go ahead and get yours since you whack so hard. Let them do them and we gonna do us. Now, let's get into some other things, ladies and gentlemen. Let me talk about some real things here on today's broadcast. Now, as you know, the Will Smith thing where he got into it with Chris Rock. We got to touch on this. We got to touch on the aftermath of this thing. The aftermath of it is very interesting. Now, for those who don't know, you're sitting under a rock at the Oscar Awards. Chris Rock was making jokes and he said a joke about Jada Pinkett Smith, and Will Smith looked over, saw that his wife was uncomfortable. So he boldly walked on stage, smacked Chris Rock, and then proceeded to sit back down. And then later on, he got an award and he apologized and he kept it pushing. And a lot of people are very opinionated about what happened. Now I talked about it the other day. Now, let's be very clear. Now, I don't condone, because a lot of people thought I was condoning Will Smith hitting Chris Rock. I wasn't condoning it, but I understand. Let's be clear. I wasn't condoning it, but I do understand where he was coming from. We're going to look at this thing from a few different angles. Now, with Will Smith going on that stage, he should not have done that. He absolutely should not have done that. I don't want to see two brothers getting into it, or a brother popping another brother in the face on live television. No, I don't want to see that at all. And if he had a problem, you go backstage and then you handle it like that, or whatever. You pull him to the side or whatever. But I understand where Will was coming from. I understand. Not that I condone, but I understand. And there's a couple of things we have to understand too. because a lot of people, especially online, felt a certain way about it. Like, oh my God, you don't hit nobody because of words. Oh God, that shook a lot of people online because, see, we live in an internet culture right now where people are used to saying anything online and there's no repercussions about it. So this is a lesson for folks. Understand, the real world is not like the internet. Okay, this is a lesson, and I'm not talking about good or bad, right or wrong. I'm just telling you what is. In real life, when you're face to face with somebody, family, you never know where that goes. It's not like the internet where you can just talk reckless. And I'm not saying this to disparage our brother Chris Rock, because he shouldn't have been hit in the face like that. But a lot of folks, again, I think a lot of them are living vicariously through Chris Rock. They were like, well, damn, I like to talk crap and I like to talk trash. Is somebody going to jump me? No, you shouldn't do that. That shouldn't happen. It's just words. People can talk. People can say anything they want to do without fear of being assaulted. Yeah, online. Yeah, that's cool online. I'm just letting y'all know how life is. That's why I'm not shocked, because I understand in real life, things happen. Things can get real at the drop of a hat in real life. Y'all better understand how the real life game works. In real life, you're not protected by the virtual walls of the internet. See, so many people are used to hopping online and just talking completely reckless. They think those same rules apply in real life. It doesn't. Things can go left. And here's the thing. You better be prepared for things to go left if you say certain things. There's always the potential for repercussions in the physical world for anything you say. So if you say something where you're trying to be deliberately edgy, and you have a right to do that, but you also better understand that somebody might take it a certain way, and you better be able to stand on that and back that up. I'm just telling you real life. This ain't about, well, they shouldn't do that now. The Lord don't like that now. He shouldn't have did it. We know, damn all that shoulda, coulda, woulda nonsense. I'm just telling you what is, man. Things can go left in real life. The real life is not like the computer. It's not like the Twitter streets where you be talking about folks, mama, talking about people, kids, and yeah, you and your kids ain't shit, your baby mama ain't you. Yeah, it's cool typing all that, and it makes you feel bold and gangster online until somebody run up on you in real life. That just doesn't work in real life. Not to justify it, but just that lets you know in real life, anything can happen. So you better be ready to stand on what you say. That is the point, and that's the lesson that you need to take out of that situation. Damn the woulda, coulda, shoulda. All right? Just understand that. Not to justify nothing, but whatever you say to somebody in real life, you might think, well, I'm protected. I'm up here in this building with all these white folks. No, you're not really protected. Things are going to go left. Now, let's be clear. Now, Chris Rock has not made a statement. Somebody said he made a statement. No, that statement that was put out, that wasn't from Chris Rock. Chris Rock has not put out a statement. And from what I understand, they have not really sat down and talked and shaken hands. They're not really cool about this yet. I know Will has apologized and he put out a statement. Jada put out a statement, but Chris has not said anything. I think Chris is about to get a bag out of this, to be honest. And Chris Rock, he declined to file a police report, which was good. You don't want to get the police involved in this nonsense, because that's not going to benefit nothing. That's not going to do anything. So he didn't get the police involved, which is good. But I think Chris is about to get a bag out of this. I think Chris is holding out. Chris knows that he got Will and Jada by the balls right now. He knows that. Not only that, I think Chris Rock knows he got the Oscar awards itself by the balls. Man, Chris Rock can get about $40, $50 million out of this right now. You understand what I'm telling you? And he's about to go on tour. I know his ticket sales are just through the roof right now, but Chris Rock is somewhere with his lawyer probably negotiating. He's about to get a check out of Will and another check out of the Oscars. And this is not staged. I do not think it was staged. Staged for what? Staged for what? I don't think it was staged. Staged for what? I don't think it was staged. But I think he's about to get a bag. But here's the thing that's very interesting. A few things. So many black folks now are copping pleas. Oh, this is exposing a lot of the Sambo class. A lot of black folks are running around here. Oh, Lordy, this makes black people look so bad. Why did Will Smith do that? This makes black people look so horrible. I've been hearing that line. We've been seeing it online. A lot of folks, man, in that single swoop, he gonna make us look bad to other folks. To who? Who gives a damn? Let me show y'all some stuff I've been seeing online. This woman right here, who is she? She is a stylist with alopecia. This is actually a black woman. Her name is Sheila Bridges. She's actually just a light-skinned black woman. She's up here talking about Will Smith and Chris Rock's actions reinforce stereotypes about black men. So these Sambo and Mammies are running to the white media talking about black stereotypes. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Will Smith perpetuated stereotypes about the black community. Will y'all stop? Y'all up here running to the white media copping pleas. Why are y'all running to the white media hollering about some damn stereotype? Ooh, the black community look bad. The white people is going to think lowly of us. Oh, Lord. Will y'all please stop copying, please? We don't really give a damn about what white society thinks. This is the Oscars we're talking about. The Oscars sit up here. And for the last 100 years, they've given awards to some of the most Sambo-ish, coonish, mammy-ish awards and roles imaginable. They've given awards to some of the most coonish and mammy roles that you can dream up. The first award they gave was to Hattie McDaniel for being a damn mammy. These people been perpetuating the negative stereotypes of black people. What are you Sambos talking about? These folks sat up here and had Gabby Sidibe sitting up there in the front row, busting out her damn dress, stomach overflowing on the floor, sitting next to skinny white women. The Oscars are the main ones who perpetuate the damn stereotypes. They're the ones giving Oscars to people playing mammies and Sambos and hoes and harlots. They're the ones who do that. They've been doing that. They don't think highly of us. Anyway. Y'all talking about? I really wish black folks get off this nonsense where this is gonna taint our image. Our image is already tainted to them, no matter what we do. It doesn't matter. What y'all think y'all gonna do? Get some extra butter biscuit crumbs because you going up here copping pleas to the white people? What do you think is gonna happen? That you gonna let them know you's a different nigga? What you think is gonna happen? Yeah, these folks are giving awards to garbage like Precious and The Help and The Blind Side. Some of the worst stereotypes you can imagine. They're the ones who perpetuate the stereotypes, dude. Stop it. All these respectability politics. Will y'all please stop Samboing? I don't give a damn what these people think about us. They gonna think about us a certain way anyway. Oh, Stephen A. Smith. Oh, let me find that. Hold on. Let me find the Stephen A. Smith. Somebody just reminded me. Oh, you know, the King Sambo had to jump in and say something. Let me find the clip of him talking about. Okay, this is Stephen A. Smith. All right, this is your boy. Here's Stephen A. Smith talking about the situation with Will Smith. Hold on, let me play him. Let me play y'all boy. This is your guy. Eyes already bucking. The eyes already bucking, ladies and gentlemen. Here he is. Hold on.
Props and congratulations to him for winning the Oscar, because damn it, he deserved it. And I love the brother and I'm proud of him, but boy, was that a shameful act for him to commit tonight. To go up on stage and slap Chris Rock like that, he's lucky he didn't get his ass kicked. particularly after the event was over. If not by Chris Rock, to the fellas he had there with him. I mean, damn. Denzel and Bradley Cooper and Tyler Perry having to calm you down. Your publicist having to run out and calm you down. I mean, damn. Come on, bro. Come on, man. There's no excuse for it, ladies and gentlemen. Don't even try to justify it, okay? Chris Rock said it years ago. Every time black folks doing something, you know who messes it up.
Oh,
I never dreamed in my wildest dreams I'd be saying that about Will Smith. A black man, Will Packer, did a phenomenal job producing the Oscars. And you do this to stain yourself, to stain the Academy Awards? Damn. Well, Will Smith
oh,
did tonight
Lord.
Was straight bush.
Yeah. Okay, okay. So, okay, so you know, oh, Lord, so Stephen, boy, he had to earn them biscuits. Boy, all y'all Negroes are doing is auditioning for butter biscuits at this point. Boy, y'all are auditioning for butter biscuits. Y'all cut it out. We see what you're doing. Oh, we see what y'all doing. And nobody, we're not justifying it, but stuff happens. And listen. All of this stuff, and we see the Sambo class out here copping pleas and jumping up. Oh, Lord, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, that is horrible. Yeah. They're out here copping pleas thinking that they're going to get some kind of pass. These old I loves my boss type Negroes. All right, just cut it out. Because you're not going to get any brownie points from these people. They're not going to look at you differently. So just cut it out. And now, you got a lot of white people running around here, chiming in, being so appalled. Oh my God. They're just so appalled. And you got white actors talking greasy. Out of all people, Alec Baldwin had something slick to say. Alec Bullet Hole Baldwin. Alec Baldwin chimed in with something slick to say. Not you, Alec Baldwin. What did Alec Baldwin say? Well, let me find the tweet on Alec Baldwin. Hold on. I'm looking for it now. Alec Baldwin had something to say. Oh, yeah, he said it was like the Jerry Springer show. Hold on. Alec Baldwin had to chime in. He compared the Oscars to the Jerry Springer show and defended Chris Rock after Will Smith slapped the comic. Alec, okay, Alec, you can chill, Alec. You killed somebody on set, Alec. Alec Baldwin shot some damn body by mistake, as they say. But Alec Baldwin then made the whole industry hot right now. I just finished the movie. We just finished the movie a couple of months ago filming. And because of Alec Baldwin, man, we got to have people on the set looking at all the prop guns, and you got to have meetings, and we got to get permits for every little thing now. And we got to hire other people to oversee the props. And every time we're about to use some toy guns, which is basically what we had, we're doing some reenactment scenes, and we had basically toy guns. They weren't even blank guns. We had toy guns, and boy, we had to have meetings right before we did the scene so they can explain that it's not a deadly weapon. Oh my God, it's a mess out here because of Alec Baldwin's ass. Okay, I'm telling y'all, it's a mess out here. If you want to film with a prop gun, Alec Baldwin messed it up for everybody. Oh my God, well, you got a splain. You got a splain to the whole crew. It's a mess out here, man, I'm telling you. So you got a lot of nerve, Alec Baldwin. And Jim Carrey tried to chime in. He was like, oh man, the Oscars are shameful for giving Will a standing ovation. And yeah, Jim Carrey tried to chime in. And remember, Jim Carrey, you know, folks are talking about how working with him is a horror show to a certain degree. And I like Jim Carrey. I think he's funny. But hey, come on, Jim. Hold on, Jim Carrey. Now, Jim Carrey sitting up here trying to chime in. And Jim Carrey, when he was playing Andy Kaufman, Jim Carrey, behind the scenes, threw a glass bottle at Jerry Lawler, who's an actor and a wrestler who was in the film. And Jerry Lawler said when he got on the set, yeah, Jim Carrey was acting crazy towards him and threw a glass bottle and almost hit him. And the cameras weren't rolling. He was so much into the character, he was acting bugged out when the cameras were off. He just got into the character and started bugging out. Man, let me tell you something. These folks in Hollywood, they're always fighting on set. They always, they fight in Hollywood left and right. Nobody's talking about pressing charges. This is what I don't like. They're talking about pressing charges. Will Smith should be arrested and stop it. This is why I'm not going for the whole we make Will made us look bad. To who? Will made the end. I don't even want to get into the other stuff about Jim Carrey, about the stuff about him allegedly. They were talking about him drugging his girlfriend or something like that, allegedly. There's a whole bunch of weird stuff about Jim Carrey, all right, that Jim don't really need to be going into. Oh, there's a lot of weird stuff about Jim Carrey's ass. So yeah, he don't need to be using this as something to go in on. See, this is what I don't like. See, what we're seeing now is a darkening of Will Smith. So now they're going to try to hold us up to this crazy standard. This is why all these Negroes copping, please. Copping, please, for what? Copping, please, to who? These white people in Hollywood, they be fighting their asses off on set all the time, man. Don't get it twisted. These people are always scrapping. Now, some people, I was talking about this earlier. They were making excuses where they don't be doing it on film. That don't make it any better. Just because they did it behind the camera, violence is violence. That don't mean nothing. Violence is violence. They beat the crap out of each other on these film sets behind the scenes. And they don't sit here trying to get each other arrested. They keep that between them. You notice that? And there's been so many fights, infamous fights behind the scenes. People like Steven Seagal. I think he beat up John Leguizamo on one film. Yeah? And from what I understand, Steven Seagal is always trying to jump bad on some of the actors in his films from what people have talked about. That's been a thing with Steven Seagal. They've always talked about how Steven Seagal has kind of acted funny style and tried to put hands on folks behind the scenes. But other people have fought on set. Infamous fights. Sylvester Stallone fought Richard Gere one time. I think Brad Pitt fought, was it Tom Cruise? I think Tom Cruise fought Brad Pitt on one film set. Shia LaBeouf and Tom Hardy got into it. They were physically fighting. Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, not Dan Aykroyd, but Chevy Chase, they got into a physical fight. Yo, that's a thing with these guys. They be getting busy behind the scenes. Beating the brakes off each other. They don't press charges. They stay on cold with each other. They like, yeah, we got into it. We're going to keep that between us or whatever. But yeah, we got into it. So yeah, I'm not going to be the kind of Negro running around here talking about how we look to some damn body. Who cares? How we look to somebody, that doesn't matter. I'm not trying to look a certain way for these folks. They're going to look at us the way they want to look at us anyway, even if we're running around here in suits and respectable. And let me tell you something. That's one of the reasons why the dominant white society feels a certain way about this with Will Smith. See, there's a reason why you see the dominant white society really, this seems like it's really triggering them. Have y'all noticed that? And when Sambo see Massa triggered, that's when they get triggered. That's why so many Negroes are copping please, because they see white mommy and white daddy are very disturbed by this. Oh, Lord, Massa and them is tripping. I got to comfort Massa. Massa, I don't condone nothing Will Smith did. He is wrong. Shut up. You see white mommy and white daddy are upset by this. Now, why is white mommy and white daddy so upset? Why is the dominant society so upset? This was an interaction and an exchange between two black folks, so it had nothing to do with them. Why are they so upset about it? Let's go into this real quickly. Why is white society so upset about this? You know why they're so upset about it? A couple of reasons. It's two reasons why they're upset about it. The first reason is that Will Smith has always been portrayed as the safe Negro. He's always been perceived as the safe, non-threatening Negro you can invite to your house. And that's what they've done with Will Smith for the last 30 years. They've invited him vicariously to their homes. In The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, in the Aladdin movies, in the Men in Black movies, he's the nice, non-threatening Negro. He's not like the others. Will Smith is the exception to the niggas. He's the exception. And here's the thing. With Will Smith popping Chris Rock and showing violence, like, oh my God, he is like the others. Oh, I was so, that nigga tricked us. See, white people feel like they've been tricked now. This nigga tricked us. We thought you were different. You're violent just like the rest of them. So now they feel betrayed now for inviting him vicariously to their home with the Men in Black posters and the Wild Wild West posters and all the iRobot. Now they feel betrayed now because he wasn't the safe Negro that they thought he was. He can break bad and he's unpredictable. Oh, we knew it. Oh, we knew it. I told you he had something, he had niggotry in his eyes. We knew it. We knew he could go there. So that's what's really bothering a lot of white people. That Will put hands on somebody. He showed anger in real life. He wasn't the smiling, non-threatening Negro that they wanted him to be. And here's the thing. They don't like that he put hands on Chris Rock because, see, white society, they like to live vicariously through Chris Rock's jokes. See, Chris Rock, great comedian. I like Chris Rock, and he's very edgy. He goes in on white people, but Chris Rock, he crafts his jokes a certain way where he goes in on black people that make white people comfortable. Do y'all feel where I'm going with this? Chris Rock crafts his jokes in a way where he'll go in on everybody, including white people, but he'll go in on black people in a way that gives white people a pass to do it too. For example, Chris Rock, when he did that 1996 special, was it Bring the Pain? That infamous special that really, really put him on the map. Chris Rock did a routine about the difference between black people and niggas. And white people loved that. White people absolutely loved that routine. That made Chris Rock a household name. And even he said that routine he did, he think inadvertently that gave white people a pass to excuse their racism. The white people and the black people and nigga bit that he did, that gave white people an excuse to talk about black people and try to hide behind Chris Rock. Well, I don't hate all black people. I just hate the niggers. Just like Chris Rock said, there's black people and there's niggers. Chris Rock said it, not me. And I agree with them. He gave white society an alley-oop with that whole black people and niggers routine that he did. So that kind of gave them an out. So if they want to talk about black people, well, I'm not talking about all of them. Just like Chris Rock said, just the niggers. You see? And also Chris Rock, there's that infamous video where he was sitting with Louis C.K. So he hangs with some of these other so-called edgy white comics, and he kind of gives them a pass to say nigger around him. You see? It's that type of thing. So that's why they kind of like Chris Rock. They like him because he's edgy. He will go in on white people, but he goes in equally on black folks and gives them a kind of a cover to use his material to justify their own racism. You understand? So he gave them an alley-oop on that. Yeah, he kind of gave them an alley-oop. Yeah, he's like their mascot, though. He gave them an alley-oop. And I like looking, and I like Chris Rock. Chris Rock is very funny. I like Chris Rock. I think Chris Rock is still a very funny brother. And by all means, he should not have been slapped like that. I'm not saying that to justify anything. I'm just telling you the white people's reaction to it. Chris was kind of the little edgy mascot for white people. Yeah, he goes in on white supremacy and the white people, but he's the little edgy mascot to a certain degree. So, oh my God, you hit our mascot. Oh my God, you hit our mascot. Yeah, he goes in. Yeah, yeah. He'll go in on white people to a certain degree. But listen, with Will Smith, so now they're darkening Will Smith now. He's become black again. See, Will Smith was something that kind of transcended blackness at first. He's black, but not black black. He's a little different. He's not like those others. He's one of the good ones. He's friendly. He's not angry all the time. He's not bringing up racism all the time. He doesn't have a chip on his shoulder. We like him. Let's invite him to the vegan restaurant. Not the barbecue, but to the vegan restaurant. Let's invite him to have some cappuccino and lattes with us. Now that he put hands on somebody, oh my God, he is black black. Oh God, he's black black. Oh my God, we've been bamboozled. That's what this is about. But listen, the second thing that they don't like about Will Smith doing this is because the image of him standing up for a black woman, the image of him doing that, that's something disturbing to the white society as well. They don't like that image of a black man appearing to stand up for his wife, to stand up for a black woman, because Chris Rock was doing these jokes on the sister. Now, let's be very real. I'm not attacking Chris Rock or justifying Chris Rock getting touched up on that stage. But it was known that, you know, the Jada Pinkett Smith had alopecia. It was known. Chris said he didn't know, but this was public. And her hair fell out voluntarily. And let me say this. Let's be very clear. If it was a white woman whose hair fell out because of alopecia, Chris Rock or no other comedian would have done that joke. I want y'all to be very clear. They would not have done that joke on a white woman. Let's be very clear. If she was white and her hair fell out because of alopecia, they would not have said that about a white woman. And you know it. Y'all can sit up here and tap dance all you want to. They would not have done that about a white woman whose hair fell out. If they did that about a white woman, all types of advocacy groups and everything and under the sun would be talking about it going in. There's no way they would have said that about a white woman whose hair fell out. In fact, you can't say nothing about another white aggrieved group. Family, you remember a few years ago when Kevin Hart was going to host the awards and they dug up an old tweet from 10 years ago of him making a gay joke and the white LGBT community stopped him from hosting the damn show. Not only did they stop him from hosting the show, they made him go on a damn apology tour. Don't let these folks tell you it's just some damn jokes. It ain't no damn jokes if they're the butt of it. It's only just jokes when we're the butt of it. If they are the butt of jokes, it ain't jokes no more. It ain't jokes. And they dug up an old joke that Kevin Hart said 10 years ago and said, no, nigga, you ain't hosting this. You offended us. You offended us back then, and we just brought the tweet up, and you offended us again, and we ain't gonna let you host this. They shut him down. Tracy Morgan, they shut him down too over a damn joke about LGBT people. The white LGBT community jumped in and punished that brother. It ain't jokes when you joke on them. Let's be very clear. They would not have done that about a white woman who lost her hair at all. And y'all know they would not have. Let's be real. Yeah, they had jokes all night, but you're not going to joke about that if it's a white woman. You're not going to do it. And when Jada was very uncomfortable with that, Will saw that she was uncomfortable and Will got up and Will had to make a bold move in his mind. Okay. Yeah, just like Dave Chappelle. That's another one. Dave Chappelle goes in, he makes jokes. Look how hard they tried to cancel Dave Chappelle. Yeah, those are jokes. Yeah, they went after this brother heavy over just jokes. It ain't just jokes when you talk about other groups who act like they've been aggrieved. when other groups talk about they've been aggrieved, all of a sudden they want to quit. Oh, I'm going to quit Netflix. Oh, I'm going to boycott this. I'm going to boycott that. Yeah, when black comedians go in on other groups, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It ain't just jokes then. They want to do something. And they're bold about it. You understand? And let me tell you something. White folks get up and try to start crap in comedy shows all the time when you go in on them. There's Paul Mooney has had white people get up, walk out, try to heckle, talk crap. Yeah, white folks don't like to be joked on too hard like that. If you offend them, they really get buck wild sometimes. But listen, just the image of a black man standing up for a black woman, the dominant society don't like that because that might become contagious. No matter what you think about Will and Jada's relationship, and I get on that in a minute, but just the image, we're talking about the optics here. We're talking about the optics of it to the dominant society. They don't like that. A black man appearing to put his whole career on the line for a black woman. That's a bold move, and the dominant society don't like that. They don't like that because that will become contagious to a certain degree. I want y'all to see it how they see it, not how y'all see it. Y'all see, you know, Bill and Will Smith are simp. Why are you doing all that? He a simp. Yeah, 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 yeah. We'll get on that simp thing in a second. But I'm talking about the optics of it. I'm talking about the optics of it. Now, let's look at it for what it really, really is. This is some of my conjecture here, what I think is going on and why I think Will had to make that move. Now, listen. With Will and Jada, I think they have somewhat of an arranged relationship, okay? I think they have somewhat of an arranged relationship. An arranged marriage, and it benefits both of them. I'm going to talk very lightly here because I'm not going to put too much of my conjecture out here because I like Will and I like Jada. This is, again, my conjecture. We've all heard stories about the open marriage thing. And you listen to Will. Listen to some of the clues Will will say. He says when people are bringing up that whole August Alsina thing, and that's another thing. I've heard the August Alsina jokes a million times. People are like, well, why he gonna slap Chris Rock? But he had that same smoke for August Alsina. How come he didn't slap August Alsina? Okay, let's slow your roll. Why would he slap August Alsina? Okay. Why would Will slap August Alsina? He really doesn't have a reason to slap August Alsina. He doesn't have a reason. Well, the only thing he would have a problem with is August Alsina putting the business in the streets like that. But the situation with August Alsina, it was not infidelity. Come on, y'all. Y'all can't be game goofy now. Let's get it real here. We cannot be game goofy here. A lot of people are game goofy and don't see things. You got to kind of spell it out, which I'm not going to spell things out, but I'm gonna give some conjecture here. The thing with August Alsina, Will was in on that. Will knew what was up. Even August said that. August said he got his blessing to get with Jada, okay? Yeah, they do have an open relationship. Now, August shouldn't have been telling the business like that. That wasn't cool, but their relationship is open. That's why Will, he did an interview recently. He was like, yeah, there has never been infidelity in our relationship. He said that. He said that very recently. He said, there's not been infidelity, and he's right. There's not infidelity. He said, we all know what each other's doing. Yeah, people are slow. People are very slow. You got to spell stuff out. Y'all are so game goofy out here, man. No, y'all acting slow. Will is telling y'all but not telling you. Look, there is no infidelity because we know what the other person is doing. We're not surprising each other, okay? Y'all got to read between the lines here. Just read between the lines. Listen, this is what my conjecture is. Jada has been loyal, I think, in keeping secrets in the relationship. I'm not going to go too much into details. Again, this is my conjecture. I think Jada has been very loyal to the relationship in respect to keeping secrets within the relationship. Do you feel where I'm going? I'm not going to go too deep. I think she's been very loyal in keeping secrets, okay? And because of her loyalty, she's been riding out for Will. She's been holding him down. She's right there rocking with him. And part of that package, Will kind of co-signs her doing her thing every now and then. You know, each of them, they do their thing. But they come together for the arrangement of the marriage. Okay? Oh, you better believe Jada's holding down secrets for dude. Yeah, she's holding down secrets. She's loyal into holding the secrets down. And she's been loyal in holding it down for 20-something years. And this award show, this was a big moment in Will's life. This was a big night in Will's career. He's winning an Oscar for the first time. This is Will's night. This is a big night for Will. You understand? This is Will's big night, man. And on his big night, his loyal wife, who's been holding him down, holding his secrets down, she gets dissed, and she's visibly uncomfortable on his big night. She's already sacrificed a lot. A lot of time, you know, she talks about how, you know, she's not happy about this. Y'all listen to him. Y'all don't listen to them. They'll talk about how they've, you know, Jada wasn't happy. Jada's not happy. Yeah, she's not happy. Yeah, whoop-de-whoop. So they've been talking about how unhappy Jada is. She's stressing or whatever. Listen to it, feel me. So Jada sacrificed for this relationship, for this marriage, to be loyal to the marriage, even though there's some different things going on, but she's holding things down still. She's loyal. So on Will's big night, the biggest night of his career, he's winning an Oscar. All eyes on him and his lady. His lady gets dissed by Chris Rock. She's visibly uncomfortable. So now Will understands this woman is holding his secrets down. She's visibly uncomfortable. He knows, hey man, this woman has already been unhappy about a lot of stuff. Now she can't even share his happy moment with him gracefully. She can't share his moment with grace. Now she's being insulted in another moment that Will is glowing in. And they've talked about how they've done things and everything is all about Will. So Will tries to include her to get some happiness for her. So now she's not happy. So now Will is like, hey man, this woman has been loyal to me, holding my secrets down. So now I gotta make a bold move for her. I gotta make a bold move for her. Somebody said, what's the sacrifice? The sacrifice is she has to be in an arranged relationship holding down my dude's secrets in exchange for a comfortable life. That's the sacrifice. She's in a comfortable life. She doesn't have to want for anything. Jada Pinkett started on the show A Different World. How are the other castmates of A Different World doing right now? Okay. Look at the other castmates of A Different World. How are they doing now? Feel me. All right? Jada is balling out. Jada is living a great, comfortable life with Will. All right? And part of the deal with that, you got to keep some secrets. This is my conjecture. I'm just giving you some conjecture here. These are my conjectures. These are my conjectures. I'm just giving you my thoughts, my conjectures. And again, I'm not saying this to disparage Will or Jada. I like them both. I like them both. But you got to be in this relationship, which is an arrangement, which is a business deal. You get comfort. You get to live your life and you get to have a little arrangement here or there. You get to have some entanglements here or there. You get to do what you do here or there in your open relationship. In exchange for living this comfortable life. So Will, he had to make a bold move. And I'm not saying this to justify anything. I'm just telling you what I think was going through his head. I'm thinking this is what was going in his head. I got to make this bold move for this woman who's been holding me and my secrets down. She's not unhappy. I mean, she's not happy. She's sitting here unhappy in my big moment. So now, man, I got to make a move. And again, I think a lot of it is a lot of pent up anger and frustration because people are looking at him as a cuck. People are looking at him as a beta male because August Alsina put his business out there like that. And they had to make it seem like they had broken up. They didn't break up. Let's stop the BS. They didn't break up. They have an arrangement, man. Will knew that August was smashing. Will knew that. He was cool with it. Do y'all understand that? Will knew that. He knew. And out here in LA, we've heard stuff for years. I'm not going to get into that because I don't talk about street business. But people out here, we've heard things. We know. So again, Will felt like, hey, man, I got to do a bold move to show my loyalty to Jada. I got to do a bold move here. Good or bad, right or wrong. I'm not saying good or bad, right or wrong. I'm just telling you what I think went through his mind, okay? I'm just telling you what I think went through his mind. Good or bad, right or wrong. I'm not the moral police. I'm just telling you what I think went through his mind. I think he felt like he had to do a bold move to hold her down. And a lot of people are making this whole thing about protecting black women and all this stuff. Look, black men, we've always historically protected black women, foundational black American men. We've always made bold moves to protect black women, all right? So this is nothing new. Foundational black American men, we don't talk about how when sisters would get lynched, there were black men who levied revenge on the white supremacists all around this country. They would kill some of these white supremacists and then move out of town. And then live the rest of their lives. I've heard many stories about black men murdering these damn white supremacists who've harmed black women. Going back all into the Jim Crow era, back in 1917, when they had that riot out there in Houston, the rumor was a black woman had got harmed by a cop. So these black men in the military hit the streets and start popping these white supremacists left and right. They sacrificed their lives for black women. Even during the 1960s, there were black women being attacked by police and brothers were sniping race soldiers out of windows up there in New Jersey, Philadelphia, all over the East Coast, in Los Angeles. Remember, the LA the Watts riots started because of what happened to a black woman. A black woman had got pulled over and roughed up by the police and brothers hit the streets in Watts. Black men have always made bold moves to protect black women, going to our sister Breonna Taylor. When the race soldiers came in and killed our good sister, Breonna Taylor, remember, it was her boyfriend who shot back at one of those race soldiers. And I think he hit the race soldier in the leg. And they tried to charge Breonna Taylor's boyfriend and our good brother, Olu Stevens. Judge Olu Stevens threw that case out. Shout out to that brother. So we've always done that. We've always made bold moves historically. So that's nothing new. So that whole argument about, you know, protecting, so, you know, we've always done that. We've always done that. So again, whether you think that Will was being a simp or not, my conjecture is that he had to make a bold move to show loyalty to Jada because she was uncomfortable in his shining moment. So he had to go overboard to show loyalty. Not saying that it was justified, because again, I don't think he should have done that. But shit happens. In real life, stuff happens. Stuff can go left. That happens in real life. Real life is not the internet. Stuff can go all the way left. You understand? And also this whole thing about us looking bad in front of the white supremacists, who gives a damn? Y'all stop running around here thinking that this is going to be the respectability politics Olympics. They're going to look at you bad anyway. This thing don't change anything. If anything, it just justified the anti-black sentiments they already had. It was already in them. If they look at this and look at black folks' funny style, they already had it in them. So I'm not even worried about that. But now there's going to be a darkening of Will Smith. He's blacker than black now. They're going to look at him as the real, real black person. Now white society is going to kind of try to turn on him to a certain degree. Because he betrayed white trust by being just like the rest of you. That's how they look at it. And that's what it is, and who cares? I like it. I like that there's no more safe Negroes. I like that white people are on alert. I like it. Because see, a lot of y'all like Samboing in front of these white folks when you go to work. So now you're upset that they're going to look at you funny now. They're going to look at you vicariously. They're going to look at you as being Will Smith, a Will Smith stand-in. You're going to be a Will Smith proxy. That's why when you go to work, y'all got to start tap dancing. You got to go out of your way to talk about how bad this looks. Hey, I saw what happened at the Oscars. I think that's a horrible look. It's a stereotype for black people. You at work talking that dumb nonsense. You at work talking that dumb nonsense. And see, this reminds me of that Richard Pryor joke that I heard as a child when Richard Pryor made a joke about Leon Spinks. He was talking about Leon Spinks, and Richard Pryor said, I hate when white people come to me talking about, don't you think Leon Spinks is dumb? Leon Spinks was a boxer, by the way, in the 70s. And, you know, he's one of these boxers. He couldn't talk worth a damn. He was kind of a mushmouth dude. And Richard Pryor said, hey, I don't like when white people walk up to me talking about, hey, don't you think Leon Spinks is kind of dumb? And white people, and Richard said, hey, the first thing that goes in my mind, what is this white person going to think about me if I agree with them? So yeah, I ain't going to agree with you. Richard said that. He said that in a comedy special, I think in 1978, 1979, and I was a small child. I'd never forget that. And that was some game right there. That was some game right there. I don't get with white folks talking about how dumb another black person is or how violent another black person is. You don't really get with white people doing that because they look at you funny style for sitting there agreeing with them. You see, they don't get around us talking about all the violent white people in Hollywood. They don't get around us copping please. We feel like every time somebody black does something, we got to start copping please. I don't give a damn. Yeah, Will Smith did what he did. That's on him. All right. Stuff happens. It's not a reflection of me or any other black person. But if you want to try to make it that, that means you are already a damn white supremacist. And I'm not going to sit up here and talk about how violent we're not. Hell, some of us, we might just be violent like that. So now what? Okay. Let's say it is a damn stereotype. Now what? Yeah, a lot of us might have a Will Smith violent streak in us. Yeah, now what? Oh, not me, though. No, oh, no, no, no. Don't let Tyree talk for me. Uh-uh, Lord. No, 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 no. Eyes ain't got that in me. That Tyree talking, not me, Lord. No. Nah, stop it. Right, so what, Negroes? What they going to do? What's white supremacy society going to do? Deprive you of resources? Oops, they're already doing it. What's white supremacist society going to do? Deprive you of mass jobs? Oops, they're already doing it. What's white supremacist society going to do? Deprive you of real estate? Oops, they're already doing it. What they going to do they ain't already doing? Y'all get on my nerves with all of this damn we can't look bad in front of them. Like they going to do something they ain't already been doing. Y'all don't stop. Give me a break. Anyway, y'all stand on your square. What happened? Happened. Stuff happens in real life. It is what it is. We ain't got to go out here copping please for white society. And I'm definitely ain't trying to hear them talk about anybody being violent and how this is a bad look on black society. If this is a bad look on black society, Kyle Rittenhouse is a bad look for white society. George Zimmerman is a bad look for white society. Harvey Weinstein is a bad look for white society. All the white child molesters are bad looks for white society. All the white killers and serial killers and mass shooters are bad looks for white society. We can play this game all day long if you're gonna do that. Not a bad look for me. Now, if I get up and slap somebody, yeah, you can judge me on that. But yeah, you're not going to sit here and proxy your racism onto me because of somebody else, because if you're going to do that, you are already a damn white supremacist. And I don't try to acquiesce to the feelings of white supremacy. I don't give a damn what they think. And you Sambos out there, sit y'all asses down. Y'all look stupid. You are more of a stereotype than Will Smith. All y'all bucking your damn eyes. Uh-oh, what he do that for? That's a bad look. Why he do that? Negroes, you're the stereotype. The buck dancing, groveling, cowardly, splaining Sambo. That's a stereotype too, by the way. The step and fetch it. That's what step and fetch it did. No, sir, boss. I scared to go in there. I's not going to do nothing. I's no threat. The non-threatening Negro trope is a stereotype. All y'all copping, please, is the damn stereotype. Anyway, that's been today's episode, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for tuning in on the late night chop up. Don't forget, man, go to officialfba.com to get your Foundation of Black American maroon t-shirts, ladies and gentlemen. And also, you can get my book, Foundation of Black American Race Baiter, ladies and gentlemen. And y'all follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. And y'all subscribe to this channel here. We're getting close to 200,000 subscribers, ladies and gentlemen. So subscribe to this channel, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to holler at you guys later this week. Y'all be good. And in the words of our Foundation of Black American Tut-Nish language, Papiakute and Lulavuve to the family.